So I want to bring to my brothers and sisters a teaching. I don't know if I call this a teaching. It's kind of a reminder. Maybe some things I've learned in the streets and what I've seen in myself or other people doing ministry. So I'm just calling this general witnessing tips. It's kind of a reminder. We have people all learning to do street ministry. And so I just want to bring some points, and I have some scriptures affiliated with them, and then I want to open it up and talk about it. So let's start out with Romans 10, 14 through 15. Awesome verse for a street preacher or evangelist. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That word preacher is a public crier. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So yeah, that's our job. We're told to go preach Christ crucified, the good news, and then teach people how to apply it to their life. And I thought for today we would just cover some kind of like, you know, the college classes, 101 level of witnessing one-on-one, just some basics that would help everybody when they're dealing with all these different kind of people that you deal with in the streets. And we always talk about it. You can have an atheist walk up to you, 5 minutes later a Muslim, right after that a Catholic pope, or a pope, not the pope probably, a priest. You might have a Buddhist. You could have an evangelical, a non-denom. So you got to be able to, and unbelievers, and you got to be able to witness all these people with different mindsets and be able to flow in and out of it. And so beyond the usual practices that we talk about, like it's good to audio record. Why? Why do we audio record? Well, one is safety, so that no one could say, oh, he threatened to punch me. And when the police show up, and they will call the police on you, you can say, I have the whole thing on audio. Would you like to hear it, officer? They walked up to me. And the cops usually go, no, you're probably okay. So it gives you a record and a standing. And then when you're on private property, be really careful. You're in a Walmart, you're in a store. You really got to be careful on private property, because you really, technically, they can throw you off. Any store owner can say, I want you out of here now. And you are then trespassing. But like, we're sitting in a public park here today. No one can trespass me here. It's available to everyone. That's why we stand on street corners outside churches. We don't go in the churches, because if we go in the churches, they always tell us, you should come in. And we go, right, in 30 seconds, you're going to call the police on us and tell us we crashed your religious building. No, we'll stay on public sidewalk. Thank you very much. So just some basics. Audio record on private property. Be very careful. Women with men, you have to be careful. Men with women, you got to be careful. And we've talked about that as a brotherhood, about how you witness, especially when you're alone with people of the opposite sex. And those are just kind of some general things. But I wanted to get back to, and I should say, like, sisters, we've talked about this a lot. Sisters have to be careful how far they go with a man that's a male believer, so they're not rebuking him and then moving into teaching him. And then men, brothers, I would warn you about you single men witnessing to single women alone. That's a danger. Be careful. And then also when you have a woman and you say, do you have a husband? And she says, yes. And you say, is he a believer? And he says, yes. Be careful how long you go with her. None of us want men preaching and teaching our wives behind our backs. We probably shouldn't do it to them. Now, if you meet a Mormon or something, I get it. They're a cult. Give her the gospel. Give her a gospel card. And, you know, that's kind of a different category. But I'm talking about, like, people of the Christian faith, if I could call it, churchianity world. So be careful on those things. But I want to get to just some basic tips on witnessing one-on-one. So the first tip, stay gospel focused. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It's kind of known as the gospel chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if, there's that word, ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We just talked about he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And so my idea here, the concept here is, when you're witnessing, never get far from the gospel. That is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, repentance to him, the fact that you must be born from above, and that the fruit you're born from above is holiness and obedience, and everyone has to endure to the end. These are all doctrinal facts and truths from Scripture, that this is the path you must take to gain eternal life because of what Christ did. We don't work our way, but we're working in a covenant with him. And so what you're going to find, and I know you've all seen this, is many people are going to try to take you down all the different rabbit trails. I call them rabbit trails, rabbit holes, and get you off of the gospel. They want to start talking about why you wear a tunic before they even talk about Jesus shed blood. Well, you can take them to the tunic. You can take them to the gospel from the shed blood, from the tunic and the shed blood because of the tunic. But stay gospel focused. The other day we were practicing, ask somebody a question and see how quick you could get it to the gospel. Practice that with your brothers and your sisters if you do role-playing, which I encourage role-playing. Ask me any question, tell them, and then how fast can I go back to you and get you back to the gospel and make it make sense without just saying, well, forget about that, let's talk about the gospel. Do it in a way that brings them question, interest, and they go, hey, how did they do that? I was worried about this, and they brought me to the gospel. And you can do it and be Spirit-led and do it. So the first point, don't go far from the gospel. Throughout the whole conversation, try to stay gospel-centered. Every topic is gospel-linked. If you get far away from the gospel, you're in dangerous water. Don't do it. Next point, lead the conversation. This is a big one. Staying close to the gospel is big. This is the next big one. Don't allow people that live in the world, so it'd be unbelievers, or, yep, churchianity, they live in the world and they claim Christ. Don't let these people that live in sin lead the conversation. I told a young brother, we were talking about this yesterday, if you let worldly people lead the conversation, where is it going to lead to? Worldliness. If you let churchianity people lead the conversation, where is it going to lead to? False doctrine. So you must learn to lead the conversation. 2 Timothy 4:5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So an evangelist, and everyone is one in a certain sense. Titus 2 woman, sister goes to the store, she's giving out gospel cards, she's acting as an evangelist, whether it's her main calling or not. So do the work of an evangelist, learn to lead the conversation. Don't let them steer you all over the place. You be the one to guide the conversation, and you're going to have to learn how to do that in the spirit. You don't have to be mean, but you also shouldn't be worried about being extra nice. Because if you're nice, they'll talk for half an hour, and you never get no truth in them. You got to say, hold on a second. Can I stop you right there? You got to butt in. And you got to say, you know, I used to hear that from the churches. Can I tell you what the truth is? And you only get them for a few minutes. I don't think you want them going on with their blather for many, many minutes. So learn to steer the conversation. All of these we will have discussion about what each one means if you want when we're done with this. But steering the conversation is one of the most critical things that you must do. Parents have to do it with little children. Husband and wives have to do it when they talk to each other about things. They have to make sure they're staying on task. If you're a boss, you have to do that with employees. Make sure that you're keeping on task. So steer the conversation and keep it gospel-centered. The next one, I kind of alluded to it, would be learn to discern and how to break in so that you can steer conversations and bring it back to the truth. Because again, you only get a few minutes with people, most likely. Hebrews 5:4, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we're talking about just exercising discernment here and figuring out where I can break in this conversation, where I can be still kind and I can get in and steer it to what they need. Oh, I found out they're Catholic. I don't want to hear all about the Pope for half an hour. It's not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to get them anywhere. How can I break in this conversation, make it gospel-centered, and give them the truth? Because that's the whole idea of preaching, public crier, is to proclaim truth that people need to hear. If you spend a bunch of time listening to them, are you even a preacher? I always tell my brothers, you're like a psychiatrist then. I would be a psychiatrist. Sit on my couch and let me listen to your problems. And then I'm not preaching, so we got to make sure that we are leading it, learning, discerning how to break in. So the next point would be, these are all just suggestions. There could be 50 of these. I just pulled out a few. Find out if they're a Baptist, Catholic, atheist, Muslim. This helps your standing. This helps your sharing. This helps you sharpen your sword and hone it in. Like we talk about witnessing with a shotgun. If anybody knows about a shotgun, you shoot it and it's got 100 pellets that go out and hit a broad target. So when I street preach, I'm preaching with a shotgun to 500 people at a time. And then when I see somebody's interested, I put the shotgun away and I get my rifle out and I hone in on them with the scope and I talk right to them. And so we have to know if they're Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, what they are, and then we can better take the things that we've been learning to help them to get to the truth they need. Psalm 119:66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. So we got to have good judgment, and we also have to have knowledge. So this is why I teach the brothers to know about the common ones, like the Muslim faith, the Catholic, the Mormons, the evangelicals. There's about 10 faiths that 95% of the time you're going to run into them. You should really be almost an expert enough to expose the lies of that type of faith system with the 90 percentile you're going to run into. And that's going to help you speak with authority. And they're going to go, hey, this guy's studied. He knows what he's talking about. And then maybe if they begin to seek truth, they go, well, this young man in the street helped me. And my pastor didn't know nothing about this other group I'm looking at. Maybe he contacts you. And maybe you showed him that you're studied to be approved. So find out what their faith system is, what their faith background is. Next point would be don't spend, this one's really critical, these are all critical, but don't spend too much time with those who argue, don't really want to hear the truth at all. They are not fertile soil. They're arguing, they don't want to hear the truth, they're trying to talk over you, and they're not even seeking enough to go, well, what changed your life? What do you mean the churches are false? What gospel do you preach? I witnessed to two Mormons today, and the audio was 20 minutes long. I would say I talked 95% of the time. They listened. I just kept pouring out truth till I rebuked them at the end. And they did push back a little bit, and then I finally rebuked them. But they listened, so I poured into them. If they started arguing and pushing back and defending Joseph Smith in the first 3 minutes, my wife knows we never would have made it 20 minutes. They would have got the sword brought out, and they would have been sliced and said, no, you're following a false Jesus, a false gospel. You don't have ears to hear. You have no hope. I'll let the blind lead the blind, and I'd walk away. So don't spend time with people that argue and don't want to. We call it this. We call it listening. So that means somebody that says, what do you mean I'm in a false church? And they will listen to what you have to say. And then we call a hearer is somebody that goes, I heard what you said. I'm interested. Could we talk more? Now they went from listening to hearing. Most people have their fingers in their ears. They're not hearing at all. They're not listening at all. And they're arguing. And they're defending sin. And you don't want to go along with them. Matthew 15:14. Let them alone, our master said. They be the blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So use some of those other qualities I talked about, knowledge, discernment, and figure out in the first, this is what I would tell you, in the first minute or two of your talk with them, probably the first minute, do they have the characteristics of a listener, maybe a hearer, or do they have a mocker's tone and they just are going to defend sin and not listen? Once you make your mind up there, then you'll know the direction to take as you go further with them. Or don't go further with them. If they're not going to listen, give them a gospel card if they'll take it and move on, because there's other sheep, other people that may listen down the road. Next point would be spend more time, the opposite, with people that are listening to the truth, that it may be hearers, and they want to know what you're proclaiming to them. So you all have met people, you know the difference. You meet a Baptist pastor, blah, 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 blah. He's trying to talk over you, you're trying to talk over him. It ain't going to go nowhere. You're better off to just rebuke him and say, sir, you're in a false system. Here's a gospel, my brother's got articles, or I have articles. Go test yourself, and then walk away from him. But if you get people that go, well, wow, what you're saying to me makes sense. I hear what you're saying. I see sin in our church. So these are the people that you want to spend more time with as long as they want to listen. If somebody wants to sit and listen to you pour out truth for an hour, and they're pulling it in, and they're not mocking, and they're not making excuses for sin, and they're not arguing, hey, how much time do you got? Let's go. Jesus taught for 3 days, and the people sat and listened. And here's what you're looking for. Ready? Prothumia. It's the Greek word. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. There's that word prothumia, readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So I warned you about rabbit trails. Don't go down rabbit trails with these people and that are going to mock and don't listen. But people that have prothumia, a readiness to hear, those are the people you're looking for. Poor life, poor truth, life-giving truth into them, and you will go a long way. You'll be encouraged. They'll be encouraged. So pick and choose wisely where you spend your time. Redeem the time, the Bible says. And then the next point is, I mentioned rabbit trails. These are topics that people bring up, and they haven't even covered the gospel. They haven't even talked about any other weightier sound doctrine. These are the ones where people will start arguing about your wife's head covering, and they haven't even figured out if they believe Jesus died for their sins. Don't go down those rabbit trails. Say, you know what? We can get to those. We teach that's biblical. We got articles on that, but let's get back to the gospel. Or things like this. Yeah, what about those pygmies in Africa that never heard the gospel before? What's going to happen to them? Well, they're deflecting the truth off of themselves onto some pygmies in Africa. What you do is say, you know what? I'll let God deal with the pygmies. How about you and I? We know the gospel. Let's you and I deal with the gospel and bring it right back to the gospel truth. So rabbit trails, don't let them take you down there. Anything could be a rabbit trail away from the gospel. If you spend too much time on Christmas or Easter, it's a rabbit trail. Too much time on biblical dress, it's a rabbit trail. Too much time on Joseph Smith from the Mormon Church had 15 wives or 30 or 40. That's a rabbit trail. Stay to the gospel and doctrine that people need. Colossians 3:1-3. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. That's what I'm talking about here. Stay focused on that, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So watch out for those rabbit trails. Learn to take a rabbit trail. You could even answer it really quickly and get right back to the meat, get right back to the gospel, get right back to what you know they need, whether they're Baptist, Roman Catholic, whatever they are. That's a really good, important skill to have when you're witnessing. Next point I have, with people who claim Christ, this would be the churchianity people, you share the gospel with them, define what it is, define the terms, and then give them some, a good plethora, a good number of commandments that they need to obeying that you know they lack. And so it's good to talk to them when they say, yeah, yeah, Christ crucified, I got it. I've been born again for 30 years. And you see that they're worldly and they're at some carnal event. Well, okay, proclaim the gospel to them. And if they say, yeah, 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 faith and repentance and born again, a holiness, got to be holy. Sure, sure, I even believe you got to endure. But you're looking at this person going, you're at a football game, you got worldly clothes on, and you're smoking a cigarette, telling me you believe this gospel. Well, you know what they need. You got to go and find out, what are they teaching you at your church? Well, come as you are, easy believism. And so you need to go after that with people to find out the ones that claim Christ, what they need, and then bring them those things that you've been learning about, whether it be coming out of the world. Any gospel that doesn't call you out of the world, it's not the biblical gospel. Any gospel that has you practicing pagan holidays and not the true gospel. Any gospel that allows you to live in willful sin. Like a brother had a pastor saying, you can live in all the willful sin you want and go to heaven. That's not the biblical gospel. Galatians 1 says that's an accursed gospel. So Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. If they claim Christ, we want to teach them the biblical gospel. And if they have ears to listen and hear, then we want to start teaching them some of these doctrines that they don't have. And maybe that will prick their conscience to where they see they need more than they've been getting. And then if people are of the world, this would be an unbeliever, not churchianity. Of course, we preach the gospel, focus on Christ crucified, and then we call them to repentance and we tell them there's no other way. And if they will listen, And they go, well, wow, that's interesting, following Christ. If you get somebody that's listening, begin to share with them the cost that it may take to follow Christ. There is a cost, and you can begin to plant seeds in them so they don't think the cost is going to church. The cost is losing your life, Matthew 10, to follow after Christ. And Luke 13:3 tells Jesus' first ministry words were, repent lest you all perish. So we're going to preach the gospel to the people of the world. We're going to call them to repent. Yeah, we'll call the churchianity people to repent too, but we want to make sure that we're focusing the right information on the right people. And then the next point I have would be, I think this one's important. When you're witnessing, whether it's to the churchianity people or the worldly people, or they're worldly, unbelieving people, talk about both the goodness and the severity of God. There's too many preachers that just walk around saying, Jesus loves you, he died for your sin, just believe in him. The Bible tells us we should warn of the severity of God, because Christ came as a baby in a manger, and we all know he's coming back as the Lion of Judah, fiery lion with judgment. And so Romans 11:22, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if, there's that big word, thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. So don't be afraid to tell them about the goodness of God and the severity, and go back and forth between the two, because it's heaven, hell, sin and evil, righteousness and wickedness. We have to be able to go back and forth and remind people at what's at stake here. And a next point would be, and this one is really subjective, but be loving, be firm, rebuke and exhort whenever need be, especially, this is mostly for the brothers here, especially false teachers, they need a stern rebuke. And then those who are defending sin, defending their church system, throwing away God's word to keep in their sin, they need a stern rebuke. They need correction, they need warning. You don't want them to leave on good terms with you if they are defending sin. You want them to leave with a rebuke so the Holy Spirit can convict them. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we're long-suffering with people that listen. We rebuke when they don't want to listen. It's always in sound doctrine, which means instruction. And that's really critical, because too many people, we'll get to the man-pleaser part, too many people want to be friendly with everybody. And I know that's how everybody starts, because you think, well, if I'm really nice, this is going to move them along. And actually, when you look at how Jesus dealt with false teachers and people that were in sin, and Paul and John the Baptist, they weren't what you call nice. They were godly, firm, bold, and loving, and truthful. So that's what we want to be as well. Nice to the world, brothers and I just talked about. Nice to the world is telling them everything they want to hear, scratching their itchy ears. But nice biblically is telling people what they need to hear to save their souls. And then the next one would be, warn those that live in sin, like the unbelievers that are defending it, even the churchianity people, warn them about hell and wrath. People don't preach enough about hell and wrath. Jesus preached about it a lot. The New Testament says a lot about sin and hell. And so don't be afraid to warn them what's coming if they turn their back on so great a salvation. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. This is the word of God here, brothers and sisters, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And here's what we preach all the time. And they and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word of obedience to the gospel there, not just believe, faith alone, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So don't be afraid to warn people about what's coming, because Christ came as a baby in a manger. He's coming back as this fiery lion of Judah. We got to love our neighbor enough to warn them they're in the path of his wrath. It's why me and my brothers and my wife go into the streets, and we stand in the middle of these broad roads, and thousands of people coming at us at festivals, and we stand there like the bridge is out, warning them, you're on the broad road. Christ made the way. He shed his blood for you. Repent, turn. Judgment's coming if you don't. There's the goodness, there's the severity of God. We got to do it. And then my last point, don't be a people pleaser. I hinted of it. Be a God pleaser. Tell people the truth they need to hear, even if they don't like it, even if they're going to get mad, even if they can't be your friend anymore, even if they're going to separate from you. Your job is to glorify God and tell the truth, number one. And then having brothers or sisters is secondary to that. If they repent and God adds them to the body, Acts 2, we don't add anybody to the body. But Acts 5:29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The context was they said, quit preaching Jesus down there in the temple. And Peter said, no, we're going to obey God rather than men. And that's us. When the police tell me, move along, you can't. And I go, no, I'm going to preach right here. You're going to have to arrest me and I'm not breaking the law. And they usually just shake their head, walk away. That happened to me about five times on Saturday. So be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. And you'll go a long way with furthering the kingdom of God. If you witness to 10,000 people and you're not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser, you may affect one or two of them, maybe. But if you're a people pleaser and scratch their itchy ears, I promise you, you're not going to affect one of them. And they're just going to go, yeah, you're like my pastor. He's great. He tells me everything I need to hear. I'm good to go. We don't want to be that way. So those are kind of my points on some street witnessing tips. We could have 100 of them, and we'll talk about it. You brothers can add some more to it. In the end, I would just say realize that all these conversations are going to end mainly one of two ways. People either leave not very happy with you. Sometimes irate, upset. Sometimes they go and call the police on you, and you're just talking to them. And they leave with some indifference. Or they leave going, you told me things I needed to hear. Thanks a lot. And then a tiny, 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 minuscule fraction may become your brother and sister in the Lord one day. And you may not even know they became their brother and sister in the Lord. They might have went away, never contacted you, lost your gospel card, and they go in the scriptures and the Spirit's taking them down another road, meaning another place, another local body somewhere, or just off on their own. So be encouraged by all of these truths that we have to preach and help people to find the narrow road, because we know only a few. That word means puny. You all know that. They're listening. In the Greek, it means puny. And the last thing I would say about street witnessing, two things I would say, is know that you're there for God's glory, number one. If you're going to witness to 500 people and they all hate you, and you did it in love and truth, that's okay. You glorified God. That's their problem. They hate the truth, not your problem. And the second thing, so never go for people. And then the second thing, people are secondary. The second thing is know that our master said, we're going to be hated. Matthew 10:22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So that's just kind of my idea that I wanted to bring tonight. Some of the sisters were talking about it. The brothers and I were just talking about it. So I'm going to stop this audio here, and I'm going to put this up on my website, and then we're going to have a discussion about adding some ideas, questions, anything that we said here. So stay tuned. In the Ecclesia Gathering area will be a discussion on this very topic.